This week, we furlough Rob as non-essential personnel. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 64. Today is October 11th, 2013. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy, and that was the best intro ever.
Rob's still here. You can't shut this down.
Yes, Rob is back after a well-earned vacation last month. Rob is back with us, and I want to start off right away with some listener feedback, because our listener Eric said, "Rob, you were sorely missed. I think this episode showed that no one can replace you."
Oh, I don't know how nice that is, though. That could be taken two ways.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
Yeah, if you can't be replaced, you can't be promoted, right?
That's right. That's
right. So we are, I want to give a couple of shout outs here. We are at Washington University here in St. Louis, and rather famous institute of higher learning. We're actually at the coffee shop across the street.
That's where all the real learning happens, let's be honest.
That's right. So, this show will be alcohol-free. I just wanted to put that disclaimer
feels strange
right up front. And also send a shout-out to Third Party Call, which is a local St. Louis band, and they're going to be providing our break music on this episode. So check them out on SoundCloud. I'll have a link in the show notes to them. I also noticed that CNN's three-way podcast, they stole our idea several months ago, and John Avlon, Margaret Hoover, and Dean Obadala, that podcast has apparently folded. So, congratulations, guys. We outlasted our competition.
Their names are obviously too complicated.
Apparently.
They were afraid of us. Gobbled up their market share.
That's right. Okay, so tonight we are going to be talking about the government shutdown, among other things.
So the government was shut down?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
So,
because you all still had your jobs and everything. All right, go on.
Yeah, since you brought it up, Jeremy, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, does it make a sound? If the government shuts down and no one notices, does it make an impact? So, yeah, this is the thing that most scares the Democrats and the Republicans. It's not that they'll be perceived in a poor light for their inaction. It's not that the American people will view them as immature or petty. Their biggest fear is that if the shutdown goes on long enough, we will all figure out a way to live without them. And then what? How will they justify their existence? How will they justify their continued theft of our money? Can we get by just fine in our daily lives without our omnipresent government overlords? I know that we can. But those in Washington whose lives and careers and power depend on you believing otherwise have gone out of their way to make the shutdown even more painful. And I'll provide some examples later. And this is just to enhance the perception that we are all dependent upon them, but that simply isn't reality. And so I say, shut her down.
Oh, crap.
Right. Well, no. I don't know where we want to go with this, but my comment that I didn't notice, it's kind of true. It didn't impact my life directly.
Right.
I saw the stock market do a little wave.
Right.
Okay, so maybe an investment I had went up a little and then down and then back up again when they started talking about a debt ceiling compromise. I heard some rumblings around a certain place of business about how it might affect things. But overall, didn't affect me directly at all. I read a lot of stories about the shenanigans that were going on, and if you want to believe it, that a certain house that's a certain color directed certain people to make things feel a certain way, I personally believe that's true. And because of the stories I read, I think, why would you, if you were really up against a budget and just, we got to close down now, why would you do the things you did?
Right.
Because
right.
It took you extra effort, extra money to do the things you did.
Yeah, we've got several links in the show notes, but we'll bring them up as we go along here. But yeah, I think there are plenty of examples. Go ahead, Rob.
But I'm going to guess this was some grand plan that at the 11th hour is going to sneak out as a brilliant political move. A
master stroke.
Another master stroke by the Messiah administration.
Well, I think when you shut down the government, it's like a family that's just shutting down the part of their budget that, you know, that like it's almost like a family not paying into their kids' college tuition or putting filters into their air conditioning. It's like, yeah, you could run your air conditioner all year and never change the filter. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do to not maintain your house. You can decide to not cut the grass and just let it run. You can do it. It's not like the house is going to fall down, but these are the things. The idea is that this is the government that we have that's supposed to keep things running. That's supposed to keep our space program going. That's supposed to run the FDA.
Well, they've already messed that up.
What part?
The space program. Well, so go on from there.
And it's true. There is symbolism, right? Like Jerry's thing. Of course, the roads are still there when you wake up the next morning, you know?
Unless they've blocked them off.
But what are you going to do if you're trying to run your airline merger and you need to get that through the courts? Or what if you got a court date coming up and you can't get your lawyer because they're not being funded? Like, it's true. There's a lot of people whose lives aren't affected, but it's the health of the country. And let me go ahead and quibble with this whole idea of let me just dispel the myth of even mentioning the stock market as a barometer of the health of the country. If we learned anything over this whole recession and the bubble and Obama stuff.
You've already misinterpreted it.
You just mentioned it. This is just the thing I've been thinking about. We tend to use the stock market if it's going up and down as some sort of bellwether of the economy. And if we've learned anything over the last 15 years, it's that the stock market's health is completely independent than the country's health.
I don't believe it's an indicator of the economy.
Okay, I know.
I really don't. Well, I believe it's an indicator of
stocks.
Of somebody latching onto some piece of news.
Right. Right.
Somebody else hears it, and it's lemmings.
Right, right, for sure. We're in agreement there. But there is certainly symbolic shutdowns going on, I think. You know.
Yeah.
So why do that?
I think if you're going to shut down the government, it should be as sucky as possible, right?
Why?
Because we should have a budget that works for the country. This Congress's job is to pass a budget. This isn't the way you run a budget.
Okay, but if you can designate 95% of the folks that work in government as non-essential and send them home for 2 weeks, and everything seems to continue running pretty much as normal, doesn't that say something about the way things are structured and the fact that you're probably wasting a lot of resources on things you don't need?
Yeah, that's true. Could be wasted. I don't think we can say there's not waste in government. I don't think anybody's making that claim. But I think those non-essential personnel are doing things that we need to happen every day.
Let's go back to your comment that if the government shuts down, it should be as sucky as possible. If, say, you and the missus couldn't come to terms on your household budget, would you then say, well, we're going to make this as miserable as we can so it'll force us to come to an agreement? No, I think you would say, let's figure out a way to make the best of this.
So you're talking about like two different people or groups of people getting together and compromising and making a budget that makes sense and then passing it perhaps through the House of...
No, you're taking... You've reached a point where you can't agree. So, okay, we're going to shut down our normal operations. We're going to basic level existence.
But who should pick what's essential and what's not?
So would you say, all right, because of this shutdown, we can't use the front door anymore. We have to crawl through the basement window.
Yeah.
Even though it makes no fiscal difference, but that's going to suck. And I'm going to make us do that.
Yeah.
Then you're a moron.
It is a lot.
That's ludicrous.
I will say, this whole thing, it's run into a parallel thread. This whole thing reminds me of just classic
kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Or classic addict behavior, right?
Well,
it's like the debt ceiling's like the New Year's resolution after Christmas. You know, I'm not going to eat any cookies anymore. You know, and then the cookie platter comes up and you binge
on January 2nd.
Right. And you get huge and you're like, all right, I'm going to eat cookies all through January, but February, guess what? February. You know, and then you got to start putting in all sorts of little like structures in place to get you out of the cookies, you know. Well, I'll have cookie on even numbers days when the Swedish moon is in the high, you know, sky.
I've got 3 push-ups, I can have 1 cookie.
Right.
I do 6 push-ups, I can have 2
cookies, and then 9 push-ups, we'll give it like 3.5. But in the debt ceiling stuff, it's like, yeah, we'll do the sequester, we'll make it so bad.
But it's
it is silly. The whole thing is silly. But I think you're quibbling. I would like to, if I may, switch the discussion from quibbling about the execution of the shutdown to why we're in the shutdown in the first place. We really shouldn't even be here, right? So obviously a government shutdown is madness, right? It's just stupidity. It's like all the silly structures put in place by Adams. It's obviously a stupid thing to do. So how did we end up here? Should this be a standard tactic for you know, minority parties that don't want to fund the government? Do you guys approve of the tactics?
I don't approve of the tactics of either party.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
they're bullies and they're whiners.
I think it was pettiness on both sides of the aisle. I think they're doing it out of spite. The Republicans did it first out of spite, but there's been plenty of retaliatory spite coming from the other direction. So
you don't think a bill would have passed if it just had no Obamacare defunding repeal language in it? Even if
Wait,
it was
say that again. You use a lot of double meaning words. So were you saying with
triple
funding
negative.
For or without funding?
You don't think it was you don't think it was possible to pass a bill through the House and the Senate that contained no Obama defunding stuff in there?
So it was still funding Obamacare.
Right. Right. You don't think it was possible to pass a budget like that?
No. Well, I think Boehner is to blame for giving in to, you know, a minority, a strong but vocal minority within the Republican Party.
I agree.
The Republican Party is clearly not unified in this whole action. So, yeah, I mean, there's a certain number of people that have just decided Obamacare is you know, this is their intolerable axe, right? This is the hill they're going to die on. And
so how is that the Democrats being petty? It seems like the Democrats and the Republicans as a
well, the Democrats,
because the Democrats made this law. They've passed this law that they can't back up. They've already missed a lot of their deadlines. None of the websites to sign up aren't working. So they made a law that they cannot enforce and can't back up. And they're saying, you need to fund this. And the other petty side is saying, well, let's back off. We don't want to fund this because it doesn't work. And they're saying, so what? Just give us the money. Money we don't have, by the way.
Well, I wasn't even referring to the law itself. To me, the pettiness has happened since the shutdown occurred, you know, with all this. I'll just throw out a couple of examples here that these are headlines. I got links in the show notes. Government tries to close the ocean due to shutdown.
Oh, it wasn't. I read that one. That one's silliness.
Okay. Here's a better one. The National Park Service blocks parking lots at Mount Vernon Estate. Okay? They actually blocked the entrance to Mount Vernon until the proprietors came out and reminded them that Mount Vernon is privately funded. It's not part of the National Park Service. Only the parking lots around Mount Vernon are maintained by the National Park Service.
And is anybody there from the National Park Service to do anything at the parking lots?
Maintaining security.
I mean,
exactly.
It's just like
that's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
It's just like the World War II memorial on the mall that they closed down. I mean, they had to go out of their way to close what is ordinarily a giant open air memorial that anybody can enter or leave at any time of the day or night. They had to go out there and put stanchions up all the way around it to keep people out.
This is where we started. I agree the execution of the shutdown.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that is an example of the pettiness on the administration side.
In exasperation, like, that's not an issue. Let's get beyond that.
No, that is part of it. I think we shouldn't even be here in the first place.
Oh, well.
Okay, we're here.
Yeah,
let's
I'm not necessarily going to argue with that. I mean, if you're going to pay these 535 morons in Washington, they should at least do the job they're being paid for.
Right.
Why are they still getting paid?
And
right?
Shutting down the government is not part of their job description. So, yes, they have failed in their job. Any other place of employment, you would have been fired for this nonsense.
Right.
So I agree with you there.
Right, and their job isn't to pass a budget that they love. That's not what Congress's job is. It's not how it's set up if you're a constitutional scholar. The job is to pass a budget you can maybe live with. You know, and that means nobody's going to really like it. And that's what the American people are, kind of sound like a politician. That's what people are looking for, right? Just pass what you think that you guys can work out based on who you sent in there. But I don't see it. I don't see it's the Democrats that are the ones digging their heels and saying I'm not going to pass anything unless it has a defund Obamacare completely bit law in, or line item.
Aren't the Democrats digging in and saying we have to fund Obamacare fully?
What if we're not? Yeah, I just don't. It seems unique, right? It seems unique to me. Like I think there were other examples when I was thinking of the example when the Democrats overtook the Congress when George W. got his walloping. What do you call it? Whooping? What do you say? I forget what the term was.
Whooping.
You got a whooping in that election, and the House went usually Democratic, right? There was a push for Pelosi to say, "Look, I'm not going to pass a budget. I'm not going to do anything in this Congress."
If you even sing the praise of Nancy Pelosi, I'm out of here right now. I'm not kidding.
She's kind of hot though.
You are a disgusting animal.
So, and there was pressure from the far left wing that said you're not going to pass a budget unless you defund the Iraq war completely. I don't care if it means soldiers dying. I don't care if it means they're in trouble. Don't pass a budget until we get this through. And I think that was a big thing on the left for a while that was really going to go through. And at some point we said that's weak. I think calmer minds prevailed and said that's probably not the best way to go about stopping the Iraq war. Right? We all
right.
want to stop it, but that's probably not the best way to do it. And this is basically,
the best way to stop it is by electing Obama. Oh no, that wasn't a good way either. All right, go on.
He didn't get us out of Iraq?
No.
I think he did. Wouldn't we have been there longer if it was old McCain
know.
Was?
I don't know.
Yes.
It's hard. I mean, you know, without the alternate universe where Obama didn't get elected, we don't know.
Oh, what a wonderful world that would be.
Keep going with your Pelosi love.
No, I'm just saying. There was the resolution that said we can go into Iraq, right? There was the momentum of people in Iraq, but I think the idea was digging your heels in and basically stopping the whole government until a small minority of one party gets their way is not the way to do things. And I think that's what's happening here. That's all. No? Yes. Jeremy is. Smirky. He's fixed on that Pelosi comment. He's imagining it.
Well,
compromise for you.
Compromise for you is
the House saying yes, we will fully fund Obamacare.
No,
compromise
right.
for the House is saying let's defund Obamacare. That's not compromise from either side.
Right, but what
compromise is not getting your way.
Imagine a wonderful world where the Republicans said, hey, there's some really good things.
We've already lost the wonderful world because they wouldn't have Republicans or Democrats. So
I'm thinking this magical world when the Republicans would say, hey, we got this Obamacare law. It does a lot of things we like. One thing it does is it takes money out of the government in an unholy way, but allows a private market to thrive. Insurance companies love Obamacare, right?
Because they wrote it.
Exactly. So certain parts of the Chamber of Commerce love it as well, right? So imagine this, but there's also a number of things that completely suck about it, right? Imagine a world where they said, hey, this thing's got some good things, it's got some bad things. Let's try to fix the bad things, and let's try to pump up the good things. Wouldn't that be a...
That would be a good world.
But I haven't heard a single Republican even hint at that.
No, I have.
I've heard Republicans either be completely mute, or we need to completely repeal it.
That's because you aren't listening to Republicans. There are who Republicans that I can't name right now, so you can call me a liar.
No,
but
it just...
They have said, let's fix this. Let's fix Obamacare before we fully implement it.
Do they really mean it?
That's not acceptable.
Do they really mean it?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's as meaningful as all of Obama's election promises. So there, yeah, they fully meant it.
That's fair.
Well, okay, so... I mean, it's clear to me, and hopefully clear to you too, that Washington is not about good ideas,
no.
Right? Politics is not about good ideas. If it were, we wouldn't be sitting here talking. I mean, there would be well-reasoned arguments going on the House and Senate floors where everybody just nodded in agreement and said, you know what, he's right, let's do that. But instead, it's this political theater where everybody has a role to play and they're not allowed to go off script. So what you're saying, Rob, is, you know, a wonderful idea. And I think Jeremy's right. I think there have been some calling for, you know, a compromise, a legitimate compromise, where we fix Obamacare. But see, that's off script.
Yeah,
and so those individuals are going to get marginalized by their party because the party line is not invented here, right? We didn't make this so that it can't be good.
Well, what is the Republican Party line? We know what the Tea Party line is, right? The Tea Party line is block everything that has an O signature on it. That's the Tea Party line. What's the Republican line?
I don't know that it's much different from that, but both party lines are party first.
Well,
and that is
right.
Not
that's
the
true.
Way to go. And I think maybe if you believe what you're reading in the news, we started at a low enough level and it has gone below that level that people are starting to get pissed off at both parties and the White House. Say, these guys are all out to lunch.
I just don't see that, though. I see it as everybody hates the other 434 representatives. But when Lacey Clay goes and comes up for re-election or whatever, he's going to get right back in there. Everybody's going to vote their dude back in. Everybody likes their guy. They hate everybody else.
No, see.
And that's the problem with the House. And maybe your founding fathers... are maybe they got this one wrong somehow, or maybe we screwed it up somehow. But you have the problem is that you have these districts that have self-selected somehow, and have created this little hotbed of crazy blue and crazy red.
The districts haven't created.
No,
they have created the districts.
Yeah, right. That was just on Colbert this week, where he was talking about gerrymandering and the fact that. He said, the beauty of the system is you don't pick your representatives. Your representatives
right.
pick you.
Have you ever looked at one of those maps?
Right.
It's
right.
got these little hooks.
Right.
And they, oh,
yeah, there's one district that looks like Abraham Lincoln riding a vacuum cleaner.
There was one. I thought there was one. I think it got knocked down as unconstitutional, but because I think there's something in the Constitution about contiguous districts. But I think at one point there was a ballot on there, or there was somebody tried to propose a district that wasn't even connected to each other.
Right.
It was like a blob over here, then a little satellite blob. It's outrageous.
This isn't Berlin. I mean,
right. Yeah, so I guess I take issue with what you said before about how they keep voting for their guy. I mean, they're voting the way they would normally vote, and they just so happen that this rubber band has been drawn around them in such a way that their guy benefits from that vote. But I don't know that, you know, if you took everybody and you know, thoroughly mixed them all around the country and evenly distributed them, then those those people wouldn't get elected again.
But whether it's by intention or the rubber band thing, I don't really see this seat game where the approval rating is going to go so low and they're going to throw somebody else out. I mean,
the Pew Research Center just did their poll earlier this week, actually this last weekend, and they polled 1,000 Americans at random and asked them who's to blame for the government shutdown. And 44% said Republicans. 42% said Democrats.
I don't believe that poll.
Well, I'm not making it up. Look it up. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Congress,
so there.
They said it has, 5% approval rating?
Yeah,
now?
And Obama's has cratered at 37%. That's the lowest since he took office. So, I mean, where are you looking that you're not seeing people... You're not seeing the displeasure that people are expressing about this.
Well, I just don't
Maybe that's it. If you grab, it's like what you've done is you've taken the whole country. Maybe this is what Pew did. They took the whole country, jumbled them up, right, in a little lottery hopper, all the little people bouncing around like balls, and they pulled out their 1,000 people and they asked them a question. I completely believe that. Right?
Well, yeah, that's how statisticians
But that's not how voting works.
No, you're right.
Right. So, but that's why I'm disputing what you're saying, that there's going to be the sea change because of the disapproval.
Okay, all right.
There is going to be a sea change. I said maybe because we started at such a low level of content.
Right.
Or a high level of discontent.
The winter of ours?
Yeah. Maybe both sides have screwed themselves, and it's finally getting low enough that there is going to be some kind of change, and there's a call for a strong third party, not a marginal.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
They have one rep from South Dakota who gets in because...
Yeah, well, what I'd like to see us implement even before any kind of third party is just a no confidence vote. Like when you go to the polls, you have the option to just, you know,
zoink them all
right. Right. None of these guys appeal to me.
Right.
So
right.
That would be beautiful. But I was part of a no confidence vote at a university, and it didn't do anything. We got to walk around.
People didn't have confidence.
And a few administrators said some very powerful things, and then.
Well, I just think you present voters with a false dichotomy right now. It's either the left guy or the right guy, and you know, if they had another option available, like, you know what? Get rid of both of them. Bring me two more candidates and let me look at those.
You brought out something that really I don't know how to describe what it does, but it makes me want to break things. I heard Carney, the press secretary, speaking the other day, and he was saying, you know, the American people have said they want... No. Don't even try to say that the American people have... Because you aren't listening to... Neither side is listening to the American people.
Right.
And it bugs the hell out of me when they bring up the American people wanted us to do this.
It wasn't
the American people. It was you trying to press your own agenda.
Well, and I have a theory. If you're watching like the Sunday talk shows and you're listening to politicians, when they're saying the American people, they're really saying themselves. Because they know how to substitute the American people for me.
Right. Because I'm one of the American people.
Right.
So
but
therefore...
When they say, because I think that's the kind of law that I want passed. They know how to say that's the kind of law that I think the American people want. You know? So it's basically always, it gets substituted. So probably when he said that, he meant like, this is what I want. You know, Jay Carney likes this. So he just...
Jay Carney, American person.
Right. Yeah, but... So
these little pencil neck geeks in there. Can't even watch that guy.
So you don't like Jake Carney?
No, I don't.
I think he's.
Oh, of course you do. Because he's a mouthpiece man.
But going back on press secretaries, I mean, you had your Scott McClellan, you had your Tony Snow. That guy was pretty cool. Dead now. You had Dana Perino, kind of hot. But come on, I think press secretaries are like that job. You're gonna like want to strangle them pretty much. That's their job. Anyway, so how about this topic for Jerry, however you are on the conservative world, and Jeremy, a good whatever you are. So how do you think this is going for your side, if you have a side?
I don't do you think it's working? Because I don't identify with the GOP, and I identify with the Democrats.
So
I believe this is getting to a point where the pettiness is starting to reflect poorly on the Democrats. I think they're cutting off their nose to spite their face.
Yeah.
Sorry for the cliche, but I think they are.
Because
all these stories about these monuments being shut down, and that it's pissing people off.
So, late breaking news, like earlier this evening I was reading that there has been a compromise, apparently, that, you know, the GOP leadership met with Obama and they came up with, the medical devices thing that they've been pulling for.
Sure.
Obama's gone ahead and agreed with that, and they also want stricter rules determining your income level for determining how many people are eligible, and Obama has agreed to that as well.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So why did that happen, though? Okay. Now, a lot of people are going to say it's because Paul Ryan finally stepped in, and you know.
Oh, is he in that mix?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess it was just yesterday that he finally, you know, stepped into the fray and
trying to be an adult.
Yeah. Trying to, you know, up his cred for the next election cycle, obviously.
Blow it in the debate again.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the point is, a compromise has been reached, apparently. And why? What's the reason for that? Well, I think the reason is the Democrats finally realized that they were getting dragged down into the mud just as far as the Republicans were. This was no longer them holding the higher moral ground and pointing at the dirty Republicans and saying, look what you've done to our country. The American people are pointing at both of them and saying, look what you clowns have done.
Wow, I just really don't see it that way.
Of course you don't. Because
right,
you aren't
objective. I need to go think about what I'm listening to. Yeah, I just...
Take your arms from around the tree.
There are trees in here.
And start looking at what's really happening.
See, what I think what's really going on is I think you have some people that are positive on Obamacare, you have some people that are negative on Obamacare, but I think everybody's negative on the government shutdown. So I think trying to attach the government shutdown to a repeal of Obamacare is just gonna take the wind out of the sails of this anti-Obamacare kind of thing. Because if people think, if you're the anti-Obamacare guy and what does that mean? You're gonna just shut down the government every month and hold us by crisis about the debt ceiling all the time? People just aren't into that kind of thing.
No, so, you're right. That's not sustainable.
And tactically, I think this is kind of a well-known and agreed-upon fact, is if these Tea Party jokers didn't go, you know, with their filibuster and try to steal all the headlines, what they should have done is just sit back and let these websites roll out, you know. And every day when things go wrong, as they always do on big ventures, just keep hammering all the stuff that's going wrong. And I think you might get some traction about flaws in the idea that way. Well, you know how much we're talking about websites? Nobody's talking about websites. People are talking about compromises and government shutdowns and Ted Cruz up on the floor. So people are talking about Tea Party Republicans and that part of the shutdown, unless you think it's
the websites. Tell us about it. You brought it up. Let's hear about it.
Just to finish my point.
And why aren't they talking about it?
Just to finish my point is I think they stepped all over themselves in trying to market what this message was.
You're right, they did. Now let's talk about the opportunity that they missed about the websites.
I mean, I think the implementation is sucking. I'm down with that. It's a big change in the system.
And, I mean, to be fair, setting up websites that you know are going to get hit by tens of millions of people on a given day, that's a difficult thing to do.
Right.
So my criticism would be, don't do it that way.
Right.
Tell everybody, you know, do it alphabetically. If your last name starts with A, you hit the website on the first day of the month. If your name starts with B, you hit the website on the second day of the month. And,
that's right.
And obviously you're going to have people that don't, you know, don't adhere to those rules, but I mean, you could at least you could mitigate the problem somewhat.
You mean put some structure to it? That sounds way unreasonable, Gary.
Well, I think if you want to solve the problem, you're going to end up spending a lot of money to do it, because you're going to have to set up some kind of, not to geek out here on web technology, but you're going to have to set up some kind of infrastructure comparable to what Facebook has, you know, so that it can handle hundreds of millions of hits in a day and not crash, right? But if you did that, then you're going to have all kinds of people criticizing, well, why'd you need to spend $100 million on your website, you know? Yeah. So they can't win when it comes to that kind of thing. And honestly, I don't think the website's that big a deal anyway because, I mean, frankly, that's not the way I want to interface with government. If I have to interface with them, I don't want to do it on a website.
Right.
Maybe that's just me. And I mean, the very people that, you know, the Affordable Care Act is supposed to help are the very people who probably have trouble getting internet access in the first place. Right?
Well, there you go. That's the out-of-touch part of this that, well, just fire up your Apple your MacBook and just get on the website.
Right. While you're hanging out at the coffee shop.
Well, yeah.
Who hangs out at coffee shops?
Just slackster or flannel-wearing misanthropes.
Speaking of websites, MidwestPeaceProcess.com. It never crashes.
But we don't have to worry about traffic on that website.
It also gets hundreds of millions of hits.
It does. All right, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will probably talk some more about Obamacare. And then we'll hit some of these stories we got in the reading room. So stay with us. Pumpkin spice lattes?
These are just the regular lattes, enough pumpkin spice for one day.
Okay, all right.
It's possible to have too much pumpkin spice.
I believe that. I think any amount is too much. But that's just me.
I'd like to point out the Democrat went cheap. There's no whipped cream, and this tastes like hell.
Whipped cream's a strong man thing? I don't need whipped cream in my coffee.
Okay, so one of the stories that I heard on the news recently regarding the shutdown, I wanted to bring up. NPR did a story about this guy who had been planning a float trip down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon.
I don't mean to interrupt your story, but let's give it the proper name. It was a rafting trip. You know, a float trip is sounds
right. Well, bad, yeah, you know, right.
This is rafting. This
right.
is rapids and
yeah,
falling
sure.
out of the boat or the raft.
Yeah, so anyway, first of all, there's a long waiting list for doing this. They don't let just anybody go down the Colorado River. And he had to pay $2,000 for a permit in order to do this after waiting for years for the privilege of, you know, paying for it. And it's, you know, it's a huge undertaking. It's a 3-week trip. He had to bring a ton of supplies and food with him. So he's bringing his son and a bunch of his son's friends and their parents. So it's a group of like 20 or 30 people. And they had it scheduled for like October 2nd or something. So they show up at the gates of Grand Canyon National Park. And, of course, park rangers are standing there. Sorry, folks, the park's closed. Moose out front, should have told you. And, you know, so what's this guy's recourse? He has none. And it's not like this was going to cost the government anything for the park rangers to just step aside and let him and his crew drive the 6 miles into the park to the boat ramp where they could put their boats in the water and then just float away. And there would be no more responsibility on the part of the park service. It wasn't going to cost anything. I just think common sense should prevail in cases like that. And I get the impression that these guys are being directed to cause all of this discord on purpose. And it's just to make the shutdown hurt more.
And they're just counting the votes.
And it's, you know, it's so that they can turn around and point at those dirty Republicans and say, look at all the pain that they have caused you.
I find that sort of unfeasible that it would come all the way from Obama's office. But
Come on,
you think Obama's like, hey, Park Service, go be assholes. Oh, I said assholes. Who else? What I think could be feasible, though, is I think the National Park Service is under the gun these days for discretionary spending. And there's a whole gaggle of Tea Party Republicans that want to see the parks just completely privatized.
Right.
And I think I could see the parks.
Tea Party's behind this.
No, I could see the park rangers themselves having something.
But you know what? If it was a private park, those guys would be on their float trip right now.
They sure would.
They might have had to pay $10 to drive in and put their boats in the water, but they'd be on the water.
That's true. Yeah, Six Flags is still open.
And I'll draw attention to another link in the show notes. Utah has suggested just yesterday, I think, that they were going to, out of state funds, they were going to pay the Park Service what it would normally cost to open up all the, because there's like 10 state parks in Utah, right. And that's a huge economic impact to the state. That all those parks are closed right now. So Utah was going to pay for it out of their own pocket, which, by rights, they should anyway. I mean, that shouldn't be federal land.
Right, that would be the push, right, is that maybe it shouldn't be Six Flags Memorial Glacier Park.
Right.
But maybe it should be state funds, but I don't know.
I know if I'm the governor of one of these states that has a bunch of, you know, Yellowstone or, you know, whatever, I'm looking at that going, okay, thanks. All of the little towns in the vicinity of those parks are losing all of the revenue they would make. And
just saying, man, it shouldn't be in this situation in the first place.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, Jeremy.
You're right, it shouldn't. And you're saying it as those dirty Republicans shouldn't have caused this situation in the first place, and I'm saying all those people in Washington shouldn't have caused this situation in the first place. That's the difference between us, Rob. And that's what you never pick up.
I think this whole thing is caused by a small faction of Republicans. I don't think it's a... I don't even really blame Republicans.
That's the problem, Rob.
The small faction?
The fact that you think it's Republicans. It is all of the government, including the White House.
It does take two to tango.
Should've just gone along and got along. We have a budget. All right, onwards.
Okay, so the Affordable Care Act. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about it, kind of dancing around it. I mean, what? Somebody show me in the Constitution where it's the government's responsibility to provide health care to people. Now, maybe it's a little late to be having this argument. But I'm not the first person to bring it up, either. I mean,
it's almost like we should have this, like, we should pick 9 people, dress them all up in funny little robes,
yeah.
And their job is to decide what's constitutional.
Right.
And then we could throw it up against them and say, well, what do you think, guys?
And, you know, I'm still incredulous that they found this to be constitutional. I mean, I think there was a lot of, you know, a lot of legal wrangling going on.
I wouldn't say John Roberts is a flaming liberal.
No. But I'm just saying that, you know, the way the law is written, it's written by lawyers for lawyers, right? So they're going to write it in such a way that it leverages whatever loopholes might already exist in case law. So we're not going to call it...
But you're saying it's so far...
We're not going to call it socialized health care. We're going to call it a tax. And we have the power to tax. That's been well established. So...
Right.
You know,
but the judicial branch does not have the power to tax.
Well, that's true.
No, but it has the power. All it can say is whether it's constitutional or not.
But they said it wasn't a tax. Congress said this is not a tax. But it is a tax.
To the courts, they said it was a tax, right?
Yeah. No, to the courts, they said it's not a tax. To us, they said it's not a tax.
Get that right?
I'm pretty sure.
I think Congress, in trying to pass it, they said no new taxes. And then I think the reason why it passed Roberts' standard is that this is essentially just an enforced tax like all the other taxes. That's how I think it went.
The judicial branch can't enforce a tax.
Not enforce it, but they could say, look, this law is by its nature a tax like any other tax.
But they said it's not a tax. Well, I don't
Congress
understand.
Said it wasn't a tax.
But so it can't be a tax then if they said it's not a tax.
They didn't write it into the law, this is not a tax.
I don't understand. I feel like I've been deceived.
So
they forgot to say Simon Says it's not right. a tax.
You got it.
I believe there's a link here. Where is it? Obama on Obamacare. Quote, we did raise taxes on some things. End of quote. He was honest. Silly me.
Yeah.
So, can you sum up 10 words or less, and I'm counting. I'm sure we've talked about this already, but let's sum up again for our listener. What the quibble is of not the implementation of the Obamacare law or not the Kathleen Sebelius' goofball in the Daily Show, but just what is the fundamental hard burn about it?
Nobody knows what it really does.
That's your thing? All right, Jerry.
Well,
and it's a tax, sorry.
Well, my thing...
You had words left, so you're all set.
My thing is there were, They're creating a right. They're creating this right that people supposedly have to health care, if not free, heavily subsidized, and I don't believe that right exists.
Right. Right, and it's forcing by gunpoint for you to have to pay for things for somebody else.
Right.
Right.
But that's no different than any other service the government provides.
Indeed.
So
that's kind of where I come down on it. I think I would like to think of a nice George W. Bush world when maybe McCain and Palin win in 2008 and we would examine. Let's say we just opened our eyes in 2010 and we examined our healthcare system the way it was with no Obamacare or anything. And we just started thinking about what is actually happening here. Well, what do we have? We have people that have insurance paying way too much for the services they really get. What they're really doing is they're paying for all the people that can't afford those services. So when you get checked in, you have insurance, they're going to charge you $80 for a bedpan fee, when really it's really only cost them $10, but you're really paying $70 for all the people who can't pay for it. So they're going to charge your insurance for load more than you really should be paid for in order to cover for the people that they're already servicing.
Right.
Not combined with, let's just throw one more thing on there, is this idea of these federal grants that go out to the hospitals to cover these costs. So the federal grants means all our income taxes go into this big old slush fund, and then it all gets divvied out and then sent out to the hospitals to cover people who can't pay. So it's people with insurance that are paying for all the people who can't pay, plus this big old centralized money in, money out situation. That is a crappy system. It's not efficient, and it's not the way things should be. And that's what our system is before the Obamacare.
And after the Obamacare, they just made that system law.
Right, right. This is my new epiphany. I have this new grand thought, is that we have the most trouble solving things, probably in our own lives and as a country. Anyway, the root cause of things that get bad is when you're not authentic. It's something about authenticity. We're having this healthcare problem because we're not even honest about what the heck our healthcare problem is. We're worried about all this insurance stuff. Hey, look, everybody, there's a whole chunk of people that are getting free services before Obama was even born.
And right.
We codified that into our system somehow through a little bit of free market, through a little bit of government wrangling. We said this is how our country's going to work, but we're not going to really acknowledge that's what's really happening, so we're just going to charge you $80 for a bedpan fee.
Right.
And And the same thing is true with the immigration debate. We get all wrapped around the axle about the immigration debate because we're thinking about, well, I don't want to hear somebody speaking Spanish in my Lowe's. You know, all these silly little issues. When we're not realizing that we have these immigrants doing these low-paying jobs because we want. That's the problem we want. We want immigrants to be doing the low-paying jobs. We're not even honest with ourselves about what the problem is. And I think that's what the healthcare thing is about. And if the one thing I think about the Obamacare thing is like, look, we're already paying somehow for people who can't pay for services. You got people that have fevers that can't afford anything, and they just call 911, get picked up by the ambulance, go to the emergency room, get out of the ambulance,
right.
And that costs us $800. How much does it cost that guy? Nothing. How much does it cost us? It costs us all $800, right? That's how the system works. Let's be honest about the fact that we're paying for everybody, and let's find a better way to do that. And I wish we didn't have to pay for everybody. I wish everybody had a big salary. I wish young people wouldn't get sick and not have insurance and charge $1 million. I wish that wouldn't happen, but it is happening. And we got to figure out a way to solve whatever the issue is. And now we're trying to solve it, and it's going to suck. But at least we're...
I don't think they're trying to solve it, though.
So...
You don't think that... You don't,
what?
Hold on. Do you think...
Let Jerry talk. Go ahead, Jerry.
No, go ahead.
Well, like, do you think... the Obamacare law, do you think it's not authentic? Do you think it's some kind of game there to give money to lawyers? So you think the law itself doesn't even have good intentions? It's a shell game to give money to constituents, or do you think it's really trying to solve a problem and sucking at it?
You're gonna go ahead and accuse me, but I think it's a little bit of all of those things. I think it's an idea throwing out, hey, we're going to give everybody health care. Oh, yes, they're giving us, love them now. Okay, so there. And then this law, written by insurance companies for insurance companies. Okay, there's your money. Now insurance companies, you get all this new money, this source of money, this unending source of money, because it's the government now. Not to worry about those slackers paying their bills. We got the government paying their bills.
Right. So what I was going to say is, how much does a gallon of gas cost?
$3.
What's a car cost?
$30,000.
What's a house cost?
$150,000.
Why do you know those numbers? Because you actually pay for them.
Exactly.
What does healthcare cost?
I have no idea.
None of us do. No, none of us know.
No, I
won't. What do you mean?
None of us know.
No, I went to the eye doctor. I paid $10 copay. I have no
idea. And that is the root cause of all the healthcare problems in the country. Nobody knows what it costs.
Did that happen when Obama got elected?
No.
No. It's the way it's we're trying to apply a market. That's what I just don't get about the kind of the Tea Party view of the healthcare system. Is we're trying to apply a market philosophy onto something that just doesn't fit with the market.
Well, okay, maybe, but in my mind, if I had to pay for every procedure or treatment that I received when I went to the doctor out of my own pocket, and if everybody had to do that, then the prices would necessarily come down.
I completely agree. Right.
And well, so you have this insurance layer in between that is artificially inflating the cost of everything.
You're right. I think that's true. But I also agree that. But you also have to say that when you shop for a stereo system or perhaps some recording equipment, you know, you can hit up the Best Buy or the Audio Engineer website and comparison shop. You can take as long as you want. Read reviews. You can be an educated consumer about that. When your appendix is about to burst, you're just not in a market. You're not in a market frame
true.
Of mind. You know.
True. So yeah, certainly for an emergency procedure.
But and I think I mentioned this before. But I think one thing is screwed up. Even throughout the whole Obamacare thing, is that we employ the vehicle for healthcare. We employ the same vehicle for healthcare, whether you have a sore throat or you're in a coma. It's the same health insurance, the same hospitals, the same doctors. Like when really, if you have a sore throat, you should be able to find your med stop, your clinics or whatever. There should be a lot more outpatient clinics that are serviced by...
Say, like at a Walgreens?
Like at a Walgreens, right. We need
they
a
Walgreens. They have those.
They have those. But... They do have those, but if I go to my doctor, I can go to my doctor. That's my primary care physician. That and I could go and employ my whole insurance company for that same service, right?
Sure.
And how much is it going to cost me different?
None. Right.
So I just injected an entire inefficiency with no cost to myself.
Yeah, well, okay, part of the problem there is you're not allowed to self-medicate, right? The government has decided you're not responsible enough to decide what medicines you can take. So
the government's right.
Well, maybe for you.
Right.
But, you know, that's, you see my point. You can't just, you know... If the condition is severe enough, you know, if it exceeds some threshold and that threshold is not very high, then suddenly you're into prescription meds.
Right.
And somebody has to approve you to buy those. So you can't just walk into Walgreens and take a remedy that you know is going to help you, that you know is going to cure what ails you without involving the, you know,
the
humongous. Yeah. So that's another issue.
Yeah, and so I think, Jeremy, I can't say that there's not political wranglings and political lying about, oh, we're going to give you these services, and they're, you know, and I'm not saying that Democrats who crafted the law, all had warm-hearted intentions, and weren't thinking of constituency and fundraising. I'm not. You know,
since this is audio, you can't see me staring blankly at Rob as he rambles on about this.
I'm not being, Pollyannish about all that stuff, but I think I really see it at its core as a way of trying to get a grasp on something that is a problem and that's growing. It's trying to be honest about what the problem is, and I think it's going to be messy, and it's going to suck, and I think it's going to take a while to work out, and it might not work at all. But I think it's an attempt to solve what I think is a real problem, and that's yeah.
All right.
And get this. Let me hit up one more rant here, just because I've been thinking about this.
All right.
One more rant. Okay. I think one thing that just globally frustrates my liberal mind. I feel like as a Democrat, and if you call me a liberal, I feel like when ideas are proposed, they're held to a standard that they have to work, right? This Obamacare thing, this better work, this website better work, right? Well, look at the way the healthcare system is before Obamacare, right? It's a big cluster, right?
Right.
And there's private enterprise in there that are just are completely screwing it up. There's private insurance that is making by its very profit motive is screwing things up, and we all agree with that. But private industries to a conservative mindset can never fail. Their implementations can never do a bad thing because if they fail in their implementation. In the invisible hand of the market, well, that's good. It should fail because another private industry will come in and take the place of it. So there, it's like no implementations can ever fail because the failure itself is a sign of success of the system, right? So a government plan can suck, but a private plan, if it sucks, if the system's working, then we'll get another plan. If it sucks just as bad, then we'll get another plan. It's like it's not held to the same standard.
Well, it shouldn't be, frankly, because. I mean, if you're going to implement a plan that everybody's being forced to pay for at gunpoint, the plan better work.
Yes.
If it's a plan that I'm voluntarily paying for and it doesn't work, well, then, you know, it's either caveat emptor or it's fraud. And either way, the system can take care of that.
Why are you furrowing your brow at that idea that something you're forced to do should work? You, as soon as he said that, the gears were just grinding.
I mean, they were grinding. I feel forced now. I feel forced to buy big healthcare. I feel forced to do, or I could just go without. But I feel like that's what the system is demanding happens to me. Right? I either risk it, and I hope that the government pays for me when I crack my head open when I ride my bike, or I buy. Blue Cross Blue Shield. I don't see how the system is giving me an option in the middle. Okay. And the way it's employer based, I don't even know what's happening. Actually,
right.
Well,
I mean,
see,
it's all swirling around.
That's yet another layer, right? Because you don't know how much your employer is withholding from what would ordinarily be your salary, in order to pay the group rates that they've negotiated with the insurance company.
Yep. Right.
So, cut out those middlemen.
I don't know. Yeah.
Make the prices more transparent. All of that will correct itself. Now, my only question, and I frankly don't know the answer. I haven't spent enough time researching this, but I don't know why. I mean, I know why employers started providing health care, because it was a discriminator back when, you know, they had to offer better benefits because they couldn't, you know, when the income tax started, they couldn't.
Yeah, we've got.
They didn't have as much freedom in salary,
right.
So they started giving benefits that couldn't be taxed, and healthcare was one of those. So I understand that part, but what I don't understand, frankly, is why the insurance companies don't have more competition. Why aren't there these small local insurance companies that are, you know, out there hustling and negotiating cheaper contracts with doctors and urgent care providers and, you know, and saying, hey, you know what, for $10 a month, you're covered for everything except the most extreme circumstances, you know, like we're not going to cover, you know, when you get pancreatic cancer, but we're going to cover, you know, when you break your arm or when you have a baby or, you know. Why don't those companies exist?
Right. Where's the
I have to believe that there's a law somewhere that prevents them from existing, and that law was put in place by the existing insurance companies.
Does it have to do with...
Now, that's my theory. If one of our listeners would like to prove me wrong, I'd love to hear it.
Because your impression is that it must be a law. My impression is that that's what a market would create for itself when the market gets big enough, right? If you get enough insurance companies, it's basically collusion, right? You don't really have a market anymore. You have insurance companies that are falsely inflating things to make more money for themselves.
Right, but it's not like the CEO of, you know, giant insurance XYZ corporation puts out a hit on every, you know, every new little startup insurance company in his region.
Right. There must be something prohibitive, because it sure doesn't look like a market to me.
Yeah, well, I think it's some sort of federal regulation that prevents their entry into the market. That's my guess. And until somebody proves me wrong, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right, so we got a bunch of stories here in the reading room. You got any you want to talk about, Jeremy?
I think I've reached the end of me.
Reach the end of you.
Worn you down.
Here's one. Dr. Ben Carson suspicious of IRS audit after prayer breakfast speech. If you haven't watched his speech at the prayer breakfast, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Obama did not seem too thrilled about it, as he looked on with scorn. But and then not too long after, Dr. Carson was audited. So,
How about that? Is that just a coincidence? It must be. They wouldn't actively target any sort of conservatives or anybody else. I mean, the IRS doesn't do that, do they?
That's too KGB.
Right. Okay, so one that caught my eye was because I follow Bitcoins, and we've talked about those on the show before. Bitcoin value drops after the Silk Road is shut down. So the FBI raided the Silk Road. For those of you who don't know what the Silk Road is, it's a dark internet site that traffics in all sorts of illegal substances and services.
All right.
How did I not know about this?
They have recently, maybe not so recently, started accepting Bitcoin as payment for all of those goods and services. And so the owner and proprietor of the Silk Road had amassed something like $3.2 million in bitcoins and made some, frankly, foolish mistakes and allowed the FBI to easily identify him. So he was caught and the website was shut down. Anyway, I just think it's interesting that the FBI seized these $3.2 million in bitcoins. And what happens with those then? Hi there.
Come answer a question.
Would you like to join us?
Look at him working the board here.
Okay.
Let's make it quick. She has a job to do. She's a hardworking American.
So we're talking about the government shutdown on this episode. Have you been impacted personally by the government shutdown?
No, I have not.
You haven't?
I have not been impacted. I think most people are like, really? Is this it?
Did you know it was shut down?
I did know it was shut down. I did. I watched a lot of like Colbert Report and stuff.
All right.
But, I don't know. My aunt made a pretty good like status on Facebook the other day or today or something like that. She was like, actually, I think you guys made yourselves a little bit too self-important, because until like a natural disaster happens, I think everyone's doing all right on their own. So maybe you should reevaluate what you're actually doing for our country and then step back in. But,
yeah. Your aunt sounds like a good lady.
That's about it. She's pretty awesome. I was like, kudos to you, Auntie. So,
all right. Thanks. Yeah. What's your name?
I'm Kaylee.
Kaylee, thank you.
You're very welcome. It was nice to meet you. Wait, I don't know anyone else.
It's all right.
I'm Jerry Jeremy.
What is this? So it's called?
It's called the Midwest Peace Process.
Very cool. We'll definitely check it
out. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
It was kind of like a nice idea. Like, maybe we shouldn't do the government shutdown, but like a government vacation. Maybe that's what we can, you know.
Yeah.
Just July, we're taking off.
Right.
You know, whatever it is, you're not getting it for July.
Why don't
you know?
We do, Europe does that.
Yeah, just...
Hey, let's... While we're giving out health care, let's give out some vacations.
Right, yeah. Not paid.
No, they're paid over there. In fact,
right, but
have
I'm saying...
stipend, so they get to pay for travel.
I know, it's living large.
You know,
6 weeks.
You just said not paid.
No, I'm saying here, we should just do it, just like, just...
No, for let's a little, go for full a little. Blast. We're going to do it.
You have a right to vacation, Rob.
It's America, Rob.
We would be a much more civilized country if we had some time off.
I believe that. That could be the topic for a whole show, actually.
More civilized, we're more educated.
Yeah, that would help, too.
Here's one I do want to bring up.
Okay.
When Obamacare was first set out before us, it was, look at Canada, look at the UK. They have socialized medicine. Aren't they great? Let's be great like them. So, what's Britain doing? End a free national healthcare system care for migrants under new bill. They are cutting access to healthcare.
For migrants?
Whoa. Right. Here, the big push is...
Does an illegal immigrant have to go to the healthcare exchange? I don't think anybody's proposing that, right?
Yeah.
Do I need to Google?
Yeah, you need to pay attention. What?
I don't know.
We'll go. We'll have to wait for the next episode.
All right, fine.
All right. So I have one more here. This was in the Minnesota Post. Idea that guns make a nation safer is debunked in study. It was an interesting read.
I think I see this, the guns or no guns, like, forgive me, climate change. You take data and you say, look at this. Guns make us better. And this group says, look at this. Guns make us less safe.
Yeah, I
agree. If I have a gun and it saves my life, I love it. If I have a gun, somebody steals it and shoots me with it, well, that suck for him.
Right.
I agree. I think those little studies are a little dicey.
So, what color is a zebra?
Oh.
Comes down to that argument, right?
Pretty much.
Is a zebra white with black stripes, or is it black with white stripes?
I think there's an answer to that.
No, there isn't.
I think there is. I think the zebra's skin is a certain color, right?
Yeah, you got to look at their belly.
See? Nailed it.
Did you see in the last episode of South Park? It was World War Zimmerman.
World War Zimmerman?
A combination of the whole
okay.
World War Z with Brad Pitt. It was actually quite, I found it pretty annoying. They were making a statement about the stand your ground laws. Anyway.
Hi.
All right.
All right. All right. Is that it?
Granted enough for one day.
Yeah.
For 1 month.
Sure. All right. This is for Eric.
Okay.
There's a list of questions he sent me, and I have started to answer them, and I am not dodging it as he dodged most of my questions. And I will address them whether it's on here or... probably be email, and I'm sure it'll come up on here, but...
Okay.
We look forward to it.
Yes.
The questions were good. I liked them.
Yeah. Maybe we'll feature those in our right. next episode or something.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. I think we've reached the end of the road and the end of our lattes. So, Let me say thanks to Kayaks Coffee for hosting this episode, and thank our listeners, of course, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.